standing for the reading of the gospel this morning. From Matthew's gospel, chapter 21, the first 11 verses. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And this is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And you may be seated. One day, two parades. One day, two parades. The day was May 26, 2007 in Knoxville, Tennessee. And on this day that there were two parades, the first parade, gathered outside of town. And this group had come from the local community, but also all over the state and even out of state. Big group that came together. And they began to dress and prepare. And they began to get out their white robes and put them on. And they began to put their pointed hats and they began to put their hoods with the two eye holes on. And they got their placards that had the Nazi swastikas, and they got their signs, and they prepared for the first parade. But on the other side of town, there was another group. And they had also come, mostly from that community, but they also dressed for their parade. But they didn't put on white robes. They put on kind of funny clothes. They put on face paint with big red noses. They put on funny shoes. They put on ridiculous wigs. They also had their signs. And so these two parades, with two purposes, began. And at some point, the first parade encountered the second parade, and they called themselves the Koop, C-O-U-P, Klutz, C-L-U-T-Z, clowns, the Ku Klux Clowns. And so the Ku Klux Klowns came up this first parade, and they began to act like they could not quite hear what their message was. "What is it you're saying to us?" And they cupped their ears, and they said, oh, we got it. White flour, white flour. And they took out big containers of flour, 5 pounds and 10 pounds, and they began to throw the white flour like confetti. And the first parade folks began to get a little frustrated, and they continued on their route, though, with their signs and shouting their message. And they encountered a second wave of the Ku Klux Klowns. And the Ku Klux Klowns said, What is it? What are you saying to us? Oh, white flowers. White flowers. And they reached into their duffel bags and their purses, and they pulled out white daisies and white roses. And they began to distribute and hand out the white flowers around. And so, again, the first parade folks are getting frustrated, but they continue on their way with their message, and they encounter a third wave of these Ku Klux Klowns. And this time they said, What is it you're saying? And oh, wife power, wife power. And they begin to hoist their wives up onto their shoulders, and they had some different signs that spelled out wife power. And so, and there were other signs as well with a ridiculous message. And my favorite one was a guy named Dwight. And he had a sign that said, "Dwight power." And so, but on that day, this first parade that started finally got frustrated, put down their signs, took off their robes, and went home. And on this particular day, a day in which the first parade They come with a message of fear, with a message of hate, with a message of division. It was overcome, I would say, with a message of humor and a message, really, that was embedded in love. Love and unity. As this community came together, and not with resistance and yelling and throwing back, but came and disarmed this bunch, you know, this hateful bunch, with their love and with their compassion and with their humor. One day, two parades. There was another day in which there were two parades. Very different parades this time. The first parade you know about. First parade you know about, in fact, we've already celebrated it with the kids coming through with their palm branches. We've sung about it. You know about Palm Sunday and the first parade. But did you know about the other parade that took place? This parade was led by Pontius Pilate. Now, Pontius Pilate, most of the time, he didn't live in Jerusalem. He lived down next to the Mediterranean Sea in a place called Caesarea Maritima. Now, those of you who went with us to Israel, remember us visiting there. It's a place, a beautiful place, palatial palace and grounds that were built there. Very impressive, particularly for the time when you think about it. You know, there was a series of aqueducts that delivered water there that you think about how old it was and what it was. Very, very impressive for the time. As was just the whole grounds that are there. There is an amphitheater that's there, a huge amphitheater that's there that stands to this day. They still have concerts there from time to time in this amphitheater. Very, very impressive. The Romans were an impressive bunch, you know. They were the ruling party of the time, ruling dominion of that time, the kingdom of Rome, the Roman Empire as it was. And so Caesarea Maritima. Now Caesar had his name on a lot of things. He liked putting his names on a lot of things. So there was another place called Caesarea Philippi. There were several Caesareas. But Caesarea Maritima is where Paul, if you read in Acts 23 and Acts 24, actually, you'll read about Paul and his time there in prison. There was a cell, and because it also had a prison there on this palatial grounds. And so this beautiful place there by the Mediterranean Sea is where Pontius Pilate would have spent most of his time. Except he came into Jerusalem particularly 1 week per year. And it was this week. This was the week of the Jewish Passover. The Jewish Passover. And on that day, the city grew from 40,000 people. It would have grown up to about 200,000 people that would have been in town. 200,000 Jews that would have made the pilgrimage there to Jerusalem for the Passover. And what is celebrated, and if you know anything about Christian or Jewish history at all, you know about the Passover and how they were delivered out of Egypt and the plagues and the Passover that took place with the angel of death, but also of going through the Red Sea and having it, you know, divided so that they could cross over onto dry ground. And so it's about Passover that it celebrates liberation. Liberation from opposing ruling party, people that have imprisoned them. And the Romans had definitely done that. They were the ruling power at the time. And so this big celebration of liberation, Pontius Pilate wanted to make sure that he was on hand to make sure that things didn't get out of hand because, you know, Jews were already kind of riled up about liberation. So he would have come in with his parade. And what a parade it would have been. Think Kim Jong-un. You've seen those parades with their military, and they have every missile they've got and every tank, and they come. And so if you think about the equivalent in 33 AD, he would have come in through the western part of the city, Western Gate. Actually, it's called the Joppa Gate. It was the main gate from the old city. He would have come in from that gate on the west. And he would have come in with a show of military might. He would have come in riding on a fabulous horse that was probably decked out in armor. He would come in with trumpet sounds and all the rest. He would have come in to put their power on display. Already, the Romans were an impressive bunch, right? And y'all from history classes know about the Roman roads, but they wanted to let everybody know how impressive they were, how powerful they were, and how much they were to be feared. You know, when you think of, like, for example, and you've military dictators all throughout history, but Kim Jong-un, you know, he has those parades, you know, as a show of nationalism for North Korea, for sure, but also to remind everybody who's in charge, and you better not take us on. And so that was Pontius Pilate making his way through the Joppa Gate from the west. Meanwhile, from the east, we know about the other parade. Jesus comes riding not on a fabulous steed decked out in armor, but on a borrowed donkey. The people put down the palm branches, sort of like an equivalent of a red carpet, and they shouted out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And in one of the Gospels, when they get down close, the Jewish ruling crowd at the time, the Pharisees, are trying to get Jesus to calm down his disciples, because you understand there's this other bunch coming out from the other side showing military brains. So you're going to get us in trouble. They're going to think we're about to rise up. Get your people under control, Jesus. And Jesus says what? He says, if they don't shout out, these very rocks will shout out. And so that is the beginning. What we celebrate is the Passion Week, Palm Sunday. One day, two parades. One day, two parades. One coming through the Joppa Gate, the other coming through what we call the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate. If you look at pictures from Jerusalem now, you'll notice that the Golden Gate has been bricked in, has put concrete there. The place where the gate used to be is now closed off. The Muslims did this centuries ago, because they know that's where the gate that the Jewish Messiah is going to come through. And somehow or another, this is supposed to stop it. We know in our Christian faith that the Messiah has already come through that gate. And we celebrate that he will come again through that gate. And I don't think any concrete our bricks are going to be able to hold that back. But there's one day, two parades coming in opposing gates, opposite sides of the city. And so here we are in the 21st century. Here we stand, the beginning of this Holy Week. And I want to say to you that sometimes it's really difficult to know which parade to join. Sometimes it's really difficult to know which parade to join, which bandwagon to get on. And I know that all of us sitting here, when you look at the overarching story, I don't think we're so naive we would jump from one parade to the other as quickly as we might think, just based on the overarching parts of the story. But understand that it's much, much more subtle than that. It's more of allowing certain aspects of our culture to change us, to move us from one parade to one bandwagon to another. Sometimes it's done out of fear and intimidation. Lots of times it's done out of things that are meant to impress us, and out of charisma and that sort of things, with a big showing. And we're somehow lured from the parade that maybe God has called us to be in to some other parade and on some other bandwagon. You know, the crowd was so easily impressed there on Palm Sunday. It was an impressive thing. It really was. It was so impressive. You know, said the Pharisees were trying to get him to quiet down. Get him to be quiet, Jesus. You're going to get us all in trouble. I tell you what's not impressive. It's not impressive. Now, hear me right on this. It's not impressive the way the world looks at things. Not the way the kingdom of God looks at things, but the way the world looks at things. It's not impressive when all your followers desert you. Think about that. Somebody that you know, maybe was popular, is suddenly all the followers have jumped off the bandwagon. We do that, don't we? It's not impressive that it got to the point where they put Jesus up next to this guy named Barabbas and saying, which of these we're going to turn one of them loose? Do you want it to be Jesus of Nazareth, the person you said was king? Or do you want it to be Barabbas, this notorious criminal? The crowd says, what? Give us Barabbas. The way the world looks at things, that's not so impressive. Right? You were so popular just a few days ago. What happened? It's not impressive when they ask, what do you want us to do with Jesus? This crowd that was yelling Hosannas yells, crucify him. Crucify him. The kingdom of God is nothing remotely like the kingdoms or empires with which we are all too familiar. Kingdoms that impresses out of fear, impresses out of intimidating us with their technology and what is impressive. Power, that kind of power, worldly power, comes so often from domination and oppression. But kingdom power, the kingdom of God's power, it flows from love and service. Leadership in this kind of kingdom requires servanthood and grace. When Pontius Pilate processed into town with this showcase of intimidating muscle and glinting armor across this noble steed as he rides in, it shows cases what the world sees as impressive and powerful. Parade. The other parade. Jesus comes processing in, unarmed, unflanked, on the back of a borrowed burro. If Holy Week does nothing else, it reminds us how easily we are distracted and fooled by fancier parades and promises. And so my question and my challenge for you this week, as we gather here on this Palm Sunday, on the beginning of it, when it's very easy for us to be with the crowd shouting Hosannas, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, when Jesus' popularity is at his utmost height, use this week to progress with Jesus and to be with him every step of the way. Look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all record this week, each in a slightly different way. But meditate upon them as you journey with Jesus through this week, through Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and you see him cleansing the temple, and you see him healing those, and you see him taking on the powers of that day, the religious powers in particularly. Use this time. We'll come back on Maundy Thursday. Holy Communion is always special. But for me, it's especially powerful when we come together on the day that we commemorate and remember the night that Jesus was betrayed. So Maundy Thursday at 7 o'clock. And then Good Friday. You know, and maybe we need to have a Good Friday service in the evening, and maybe we'll do that next week. But I'm just kind of old-fashioned about having Good Friday service at noon as we remember the time of day when Jesus laid down his life for us, for all humanity, for all time. And then comes Saturday. And you say, well, Saturday sounds like fun and games and Easter egg hunt and all of that. But friends, you know, it is about service. And it is about fulfilling God's great commission. And this is a plan that we have. Now, it's not our only plan that we're ever going to have about reaching out to the community. This is just one of many plans and many strategies that we have. But it's a good one, and it's a good time of year to do that. And you heard Melissa talk about how many folks we've invited to this Easter egg hunt. And she has a lot of workers. We could always use a few more. But where it's going to be important is this Sunday and some following Sundays, is hopefully some visitors will come back. And I'm not so naive, I'm not so idealistic that, A, I think that all the people that are going to be at that Easter egg hunt don't already have churches. Many of them do, but some of them don't. And even among those, I'm not so naive or idealistic to think that every single one of those would come, but some will. Some will. It's not going to be 10,000, but some will. God is calling them here. And what will make the difference is how they feel welcome when they come here. And so love them, folks, and welcome them, and just be your own sweet self. They can't help but fall in love with you. And as they do that, we hope they fall in love with Jesus as they hear the gospel message. We got some other things coming up in a few weeks. We're going to be doing a Case for Christ starting in May. And some other things that we're going to use to reach out into our community. And so Saturday is just one step in that you know, it's not enough just to know the message. The message compels us to respond and to do something and to invite for other folks into the message to be part of the story. And then Easter Sunday will be here next week, to be able to shout hallelujah that He is risen. And so use this week. Use it devotionally. Use it strategically. Use it personally. You know, there's lots of things we do as a community, like the program tonight, like the worship services, but there's a very real sense in which we have to have our own pilgrimage, however you live it out this week. So however you feel called, maybe it is, and I encourage the other services, I'll say to you too, you know, there are so many great movies that have been made. Jesus of Nazareth, The Passion of the Christ. Passion of Christ is hard for me to watch, but I try to watch it around Good Friday because it reminds me of the extreme sacrifice that Jesus made. So use some of those things. Use this to be a holy week. We call it a holy week. This sermon is really to be continued. But as we come into the close of this one, let me remind you again that there was one day in which there were two parades. Which parade will you be in? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so to be clear, because there's lots of dates and times that have been given, tonight's program is at what time? 6 o'clock. There's 6 o'clock. Maundy Thursday, it's at what time? 7 o'clock. You guys are so good. And then Good Friday is at noon. And then Easter Sunday, 11 o'clock, right here. Or 8 o'clock, surely. It's okay. You're welcome at any of our services. So now here are this word of grace. Go now with hosannas on our lips. Go with this understanding that Jesus the Messiah has ridden in to the holy city. And now let us go with Him this week as we journey to the cross, so that we may again gaze at its hope, at its promise, and its love. Go now in God's peace. Amen.